Reverend Brother Glenn Orsted.
Well, thank you, Jim, and good morning, everyone. I do feel that I've been given a message, and as is often the case, the struggle is how to present it to make sure it comes across the way that I feel I received it, and that, you know, it's interesting and pertinent. And so I'd like to start this morning, you know, that I hope I don't burst anyone's little bubble of tranquility and put any shock in your lives. But really, Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. And everyone's completely ready, right? Everything's done. Gifts are purchased. And you're sitting there waiting for it to arrive, right? Some people are probably close, but probably some of us still have things we need to do. And we know it's coming up, and, you know, we've known it for, you know, since Christmas of last year, but somehow these things have this way of coming upon us, you know, and even frequently find ourselves, even at the last minute, still struggling, trying to get all the things done that we think we need to have done and we want to have done, so everything goes off the way we think we should. And I thought about as for this morning, you know, that oftentimes that's kind of what we do sometimes in our messages here. You know, the Christmas season starts, and we start putting the decorations and we start singing the Christmas songs. But sometimes it's, you know, just the Sunday before a Christmas that we really have a Christmas sermon. And so this isn't really a Christmas sermon, but it's going to revolve around the Christmas story to kind of help us start, you know, thinking about what's coming up and some things I think that we can gain from that story that maybe sometimes we don't take the time, sometimes to take the time to really appreciate. Because sometimes that's what happens when we kind of get in that rush to get things done that we think we need to. Sometimes we overlook some simple little things that really can change everything. And so that's what I hope to do this morning. I hope to talk about the Christmas story a little bit and point out a few things that maybe sometimes we don't give a whole lot of thought to, but I think are pertinent and apply to our lives. I'd like to start with a little, it's not really a story, kind of an illustration to make a point. It's not a true story, but a little illustration. And it's about a time where there's this kingdom and there's this palace. And it's a time of great rejoicing. There's a lot of preparations going on because a prince had just been born. And so there's a lot of discussion going around about the throne because this is a big day in the kingdom. All the king's advisors are there making their suggestions about the decorations, the announcements, the festivities, getting the bands in order, and the ladies, all their elaborate dresses, and the horses are being, you know, brushed and all the fine metal being polished, and they're preparing to announce this wonderful news. And they're going through all the wonderful, elaborate ways to, you know, to publicize and celebrate this great event. And then all but one of the king's advisors have spoken. And so the king turns to him and asks him, "What about you? Do you have any ideas? What do you suggest to announce, you know, the birth of my son, the prince?" And a humble reply comes, "Well, I think we should send a messenger out in the night into the fields and tell the shepherds about it." You know, when you put it in that perspective, you know, it sounds ridiculous. You know, I mean, no one would really expect a king and his palace and with everything out there to waste the time to go out and announce the birth of his son to a bunch of shepherds. But that's what God did. Because God's ways are not our ways. The things that really don't make sense and don't seem even logical in our minds make great sense to the Lord. And I hope this morning to look at a few of those things that, you know, maybe we don't really think about sometimes because our minds don't think that way, and draw some things out to appreciate, to gain a little bit for ourselves, especially this Christmas season, to really kind of appreciate a little bit. And I'd like to start with a familiar story we find in Luke that we read all so often. But I'm going to read some of the parts that maybe we don't focus on quite as much around the Christmas time, but it's a part of it. And I'd like to read in Luke, the second chapter. I'm going to start with the 8th verse. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You know, when we read this story, the shepherds receiving this message, and, you know, the angels proclaiming it to them, and they're going to see the little baby lying there in the manger. You know, it gives us kind of this nice, warm, and comforting feeling. You know, it's just it's a very appealing story. And somehow we can kind of identify ourselves with these shepherds, and, you know, we think of them as kind of simple, and, you know, if God can love them, you know, surely His love for me is every bit as great. But of course, that isn't the complete Christmas story that we're so familiar with. There's more that goes with it. And I'd like to jump over and read a little bit more about this, because our story isn't really complete without the wise men. And I'd like to go into Matthew, the second chapter, and I'd like to start with the first verse. Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not least among the princes of Judah? For out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know, the wise men represent, you know, the opposite spectrum of society than the shepherds. Shepherds were simple. The wise men were the elite. The wise men were, by all accounts, apparently probably wealthy. They were educated among society's elite. And while the shepherds and the wise men came to adore and worship the young child, we read a different story from King Herod. It said he was furious and was going to do all he could to destroy him, to the extent, if you continue in the story there, that killing all the infant male children in the area. And I believe if we look at this, we can learn a little bit more about this Christmas story in ourselves, if we take a little time to consider some of these the contrasts that there are here. I'd like to first consider the shepherds that sometimes we don't appreciate because we read the story and it sounds so nice. You know, the shepherds there and the wise men and the little manger scene, and it's just a nice, warm, appealing scene that we've grown up and accustomed to. But consider the shepherds, you know, they were pretty well looked down upon society. They're one of the lowest occupations that could be had. Probably a lot of it came to the fact that, you know, they spent their life living outdoors with the sheep. They were probably dirty, smelly. They lived a very simple life, very few possessions, very solitary life. Most of their life was out in the fields tending to their flock. Not a whole lot of contact with other individuals. And we have to kind of put things in perspective that when this story occurred, that, you know, we have this idea, sometimes we read through this, you know, that the shepherds all gathered together listening to this angel, but the reality is they probably weren't together because they're tending to their needs and stuff, that the shepherds wouldn't be all together in one place. They'd be out in prospective places tending to the different flocks. Typically, there'd be only one shepherd or a flock, so these may be represent several different flocks. And this angel appeared in this field, and these shepherds are hearing this. And then after hearing this, they met to discuss it. We've talked about it many times in other studies and stuff, that it's pretty well understood that, you know, Christmas didn't occur in December. Those scholars and theologians, you know, pretty well pinpoint, they believe, reading the text that we have here in the Bible, that it was probably either in the spring or the fall. And I believe using some of the texts we have in the Book of Mormon, I'm not going to go into, we've talked about it in the past, but I believe using the Book of Mormon, we can pinpoint it into the spring. That he was born in the spring. I think we can be pretty confident on that. Not quite as much confident, but I believe there's good reason. If you look at Jewish history and the traditions and some of the prophecies and everything, I believe there's a good reason to believe that the Lord was born on the Passover. And if so, that would certainly explain why the city was so crowded and they'd have a difficult time, Mary and Joseph, finding a place to stay. It's also pertinent to understand the story that went out to these shepherds. Because it was a common practice that not everyone would have a flock of sheep. For the different, it was common that when the Lord came, and you remember the money changers, were they were there, they were making profit and things, or the sacrifices and the money and everything, and he became distraught. It was very common practice that people would buy the lamb for the sacrifice at the time of the Passover. And so as these shepherds were out there in the field, it's very likely that they'd raised a lamb and seen how innocent and pure it was and had just sold many of them for the sacrifice that night for the Passover. They'd be very familiar with raising and surrendering something that they'd cared for and had been part of their possession to be sacrificed for the sins of others. As simple and as uneducated as they may have been, they probably more than anyone else could understand the concept of the Lamb of God. The shepherds were simple, but when they were told the truth, they believed. So let's consider the wise men, the opposite spectrum. By all accounts, they are wealthy. It says they brought expensive gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all expensive things. Most likely they were educated, they had a life of comfort. To put them in perspective, you know, that we have to realize that it tells us they had to travel. They followed a star. They'd seen a star and they traveled from the east. And so, although in our Christmas story we like this idea of the wise men and the shepherds there gathered around the manger, it's very improbable that they were there the night that he was born. Or at the same time that the shepherds were, because they had to travel. They had to recognize something, they had to pack things up, and they had to travel. They didn't have, you know, we can call down here and get a flight on a plane and be somewhere halfway across the world within a few hours. They traveled, more likely by some caravan in that area, possibly by camels or other method, but it would have taken time. They wouldn't have been there that night. By all accounts, there's a good chance it's almost as much as 2 years later, because if you remember, when they went there, Herod didn't know anything about it, and he inquired, when did this star appear? And then he put out the decree for all the male children, 2 years and younger, to be slain. So it could have been as much as 2 years later, if we read in that, because Herod went, when did the star appear? And then he puts out the proclamation that he doesn't want anyone 2 years and younger to be alive. The wise men weren't, there's no account of them that an angel appeared to them. But they knew. By most accounts in the scripture, they came from the east. They probably came from the area of the Persians or the Babylonians. It tells us that when they're talking to the Herod, it says They said unto him, and it goes on a little bit, it says, for thus it is written by the prophet. They had some knowledge. How are they retained that? Of the prophecies of this birth of this child. If it came from the area of Persia and Babylon, they would be from the area where Daniel was in his captivity. And perhaps the stories and the prophetic experiences he had been passed down and been learned by them. Maybe they had some prophecies and things that we don't possess today. But the important thing is, they had knowledge and they were expecting and they were anticipating and they were watching for something, and when they saw it, they recognized it. They're awaiting event, and when it happened, they were ready to react. They weren't told. They didn't have to be prodded. And then consider the next contrast in here that we have, Herod. He didn't even know of the star. It had been seen by these wise men who traveled whatever great distance they'd done. They were aware of it. I'm not going to turn to it, but it was recorded in the Book of Mormon in the first chapter of 3 Nephi that on another nation they were aware of it, a new star. But Herod was ignorant of it. He didn't receive an angelic announcement of it. He was ignorant of it. And he was blind and deaf. Because even when it was brought to his attention, he didn't want to hear it. And so Christmas came as surely for Herod as it did as for the shepherds and the wise men that night. And I'd like to take a few moments to kind of look at the difference in their reactions. It tells us there in the account there in Luke, it said, the shepherd said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. No indication of any doubt. It didn't say, well, let's go see if it's true, or, well, I don't believe that. Let's go find out for ourselves. Let's go see this thing that has come to pass. By the standards of society, you know, a shepherd really had nothing. I mean, they lived out there with what few things they had to protect themselves from the element and tend their flock. Some hunting instruments so they could, you know, provide food for themselves and stuff. But they didn't have a house or a structure out there. They're living there with their flock. At least that's the way society looks at it. They were looked down upon, not the elite, not the favored, but the smelly, dirty individuals that lived out there with the sheep. But that flock was everything to them. That was their responsibility. Usually they didn't own them. They were hired by someone more wealthy to watch over and tend to that. And that was their responsibility, to make sure that they were protected, they were cared for, and they were nourished. And although many of those in the cities around them may not have thought much of it, and perhaps we don't think too much about it when we read through the story, but that flock was their responsibility, it was their livelihood, it was everything in their life. And they left it to go see this baby Jesus. You know, I like to think that because of their faith that they were rewarded, they were returned, their flock was safe and healthy and none of them had been lost. But when they left, it was open to any wolves or any other animal that would want to take prey upon them. May have seemed insignificant to anyone else, but they may not have had much compared to people, but what little they had, they were willing to walk away from. To be part of this experience that they had just been told about. You know, the Christmas story doesn't really emphasize that the shepherds were willing to risk everything to go see the Lord, to see this little baby Jesus. The wise men, you know, they probably were in a position that they didn't have to risk the things they left behind. They probably had someone they could put in charge to watch over their possessions while they're gone. But they left their comforts to live in a mode of traveling, a long distance or a great deal of time, the hardships that come with it, the climate, the elements, And they were willing to give freely of their substance. It says they brought treasures. And then it goes on to list, and it says, you know, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, that they were willing to give freely of the things that they had. They're gone from their homes, their families, probably for a great deal of time. Two different classes of individuals. Two different types of sacrifices. Two different ways of learning about this story. And then we have this third individual, Herod. He also knew about the birth of Jesus. The wise men told him. Sometimes we kind of read over these verses here, but it says when they told him here in verse 3, it says, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. That wasn't just the mindset of Herod. This wasn't one individual. It says all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. It was those troubled individuals that our Lord and Savior would have to contend with through his ministry as he walked and talked and preached and exhorted. And so Herod is not a unique individual, but part of many that think like that. He wasn't alone. He wasn't a unique individual. And I ask you as we began this service, you know, are you ready for Christmas? And probably many of you have, you know, thought different things about the things we need to do in preparation and things you'd like to have done. But I'd like to apply it a little bit different. You know, I ask you, you know, are you ready for Christmas? You know, December 25th, when we observe Christmas, you know, it's a historic event, a time when this birth occurred. And we do it in remembrance of that. And we read these stories of individuals that are there at the time. And, you know, they sound so wonderful. And, you know, the angels appearing, a new star in the heaven, a Savior's born to mankind. We remember. And yet there's a story waiting to unfold. And are we able and willing to be a part of that story? Because the day is going to come, and it's been prophesied, just like the prophecies were of this little baby being born, that the Lord's going to return. It's quite possible He'll return in the lifetime of those, some of you sitting here in this chapel this morning. Are you ready? Have you prepared yourself? Which of these categories, if you look at your life, do you fit into the shepherds? A wise men or Herod? You know, it's interesting, I think, you know, that 2,000 years ago when the Jews were there awaiting this event that had been prophesied of, you know, they were under an occupation. Their foreign power was controlling them. And they were there waiting for this prophecy to be fulfilled, and they're awaiting this warrior to come to save them from their oppressors. And this little baby came, innocent and helpless. And now, today, 2,000 years later, there's millions of Christians awaiting the return of this quiet baby, expecting his return with this love and this protection, that everything's going to be wonderful and grand. And yet the Scriptures tell us when he returns, this time it will be as a warrior with the armies of heaven to pour out vengeance and wrath upon the unrighteous. You know, society never really quite gets it right. Society's really never quite ready for what God has planned. But are you? I think there's something to be learned among each of these individuals, you know. You can be a shepherd or a wise man and still receive what the Lord has to offer. You know, the shepherd was a simple individual. He was poor. He was unlearned. He may not have known the prophecies. But in this case, they were willing to hear. And if they're willing to hear, there was an angel sent to tell them. And then they had to believe. And they were willing to leave their humble little existence, which was everything to them, to go. Perhaps you find yourself in that. You think, you know, you don't know the Scriptures well. You know, you aren't really happy where you are in life. Things aren't going as well as you would like to. But if your heart's open and receptive, the message will be sent. Perhaps maybe you feel you're more on the other end. Maybe not necessarily you're thinking wealthy, but I mean you're comfortable. Finances aren't a great concern to you. You've studied, you know the Scriptures. You're understanding. And waiting. But when that time comes, are you really able to recognize and are you really willing to offer and to do what it takes? The wise men, they're willing to pack up, leave, take their wealth and stuff with them to hand it over. So you don't have to worry about whether you understand all the prophecies or you don't have to worry about where you're at in life. Because if you need to know, you'll be told. If you've studied it and you're willing to understand, you'll see it when it happens. But probably, if we're really honest, in varying degrees, we all have a little bit of Herod in us. That we really don't feel we're really quite ready. There's things that, you know, we'd like to get done, things that we really don't want to give up. But the promise we have is that if you have ears to hear, you'll be told. The shepherds heard. If you have eyes to see, you will see. There was the star. And if you have a heart of love, the message will be known within you. But are we ready? If you're struggling, you know, to get the material things ready for Christmas and the things and the preparations on a date that we know that's coming. Consider ourselves and our tendency to procrastinate. You know, where are we for His return? Are things in order or are there things that we need to do that we're putting off till tomorrow or next week? Or are things that, well, I hope I don't have to give up this or I hope I don't have to do that? Because there's those things sometimes, that Christmas story, that don't come across. You know, those shepherds, in the eyes of the world and people, they didn't have much. They're just living out there in the field, you know. To someone sitting in a nice, comfortable house and for the time, you know, living in comfort and a roof over their heads and, you know, and clean water to get cleaned up and a table to sit down at for their meals and a bed to sleep in, you know, these shepherds in the field don't have anything. I mean, what do they have to give up? But that flock was everything to them, and they were willing to. To the wise men, oh, you know, what's the big deal there? You know, they have an abundance. You know, they could give up these things. I mean, it's not a big deal for them to take off and travel, but they'd studied, they knew, and they were waiting, and they were prepared. And they were willing to do whatever it takes, whatever inconvenience it was, to leave their family behind, to pack things up, to take their treasures, to go and see this wondrous event. And so the message, I felt kind of compelled, you know, this morning. I hope I've brought it across in a way that we don't need to worry. We don't need to struggle that, you know, whether you know enough, whether you have enough possessions to offer. You don't need to understand where you understand all the prophecies. If your heart's prepared and you're willing to receive the message and you're willing to go where you're directed, if you need to be told, so be told. If you have the knowledge and you recognize it, you'll see the signs and you'll act. But we have to be wary of the pull of the world like Herod. So we don't want to lose our status. We don't want to have to go anywhere. We don't have to give up something. Or we don't want to have to go today. Or we don't want it to happen now. Because that was the thing that was the same with the shepherds and the wise men. Regardless of how they received it, their hearts were ready. The shepherds were ready when the angel appeared and told them. The wise men were ready when they went out that night and said, there's a star there that wasn't there before. Let's make haste and go. They weren't afraid to talk about it to others. The shepherds, it says, they met and they talked, said, let's go. And it says the wise men, more than one. It's unlikely that they were living together in the same household, but they talked and they found others that had believed and knew the same prophecies and looked up and saw that same star and said, let us go and see this wondrous thing that's happened. We have many things. Let's take things with us that we can offer. So as I asked at the beginning, you know, I asked, you know, are we ready for Christmas? Or more appropriately, you know, are you ready for Christ in your life? Not just entering in the waters of baptism, but are you ready for Christ in your life right there before you? Are you ready for His return? Are you ready that if right this moment He were to walk through those doors and down this aisle, you wouldn't have to hide anything? You wouldn't have any regrets? There's not things that you'd feel you have to do, things you'd have to hide, things you'd have to repent from, things you'd have to change. But without hesitation, you say, let's go and see this wonderful thing. And come and fall down before His face and worship the King. I believe that's the Christmas message. Are you prepared and are you ready? Are you a shepherd or a wise man or Herod? There were many like Herod that said all of Jerusalem was troubled like he was. It records, you know, only a few shepherds and a few wise men came to see the event. It's my hope and prayer that everyone to hear my voice, but in that category, that in the billions in the world, we're the few that are prepared. Ears ready to hear, eyes ready to see, and hearts willing to receive. Thank you.